Isaiah 61, and I'm going to read from verse 1. Hallelujah. It says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord had anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He had sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of the vengeance of our God, talking about his judgment, to comfort all that mourn and to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And they shall build the old wastes, and they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. Amen. It tells us here that God has given us grace to rebuild the old waste. Now, that old waste could be in our lives or some other person's life. Hallelujah. And so when we are talking about this, I want us to understand something. And that is that Christianity, or the life that God brought for us, is a blessed life. It's a blessed life. It's a life of blessing. God wants us blessed. God didn't call us to be cursed. He didn't call us to be in trouble or in danger, or find ourselves in a place where things are just not working right, and we're suffering all the time, and all the evil things that came with the fall, God dealt with in Christ. Hallelujah. So I'm going to start with dealing with sin, actually, because a lot of the stuff that comes or happens because there is unforgiveness, or that people do not know that they are forgiven. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord Jesus. Now, the testimony of the blood of Jesus, let's read the book of Romans chapter 5. All that God has done, he's doing so that we can understand that he is not condemning us. He has nothing against us. Hallelujah. Doesn't have anything against us. If we are living wrongly, we should adjust our living to line up with the word of God. Repent and line up with the word of God. Hallelujah. God has given us grace to live for him. God has given us the free gift of righteousness. And that free gift of righteousness enables us to live the life of God, the life of righteousness. It's a free gift, but it's a spirit, actually. All right, we say it's a garment in the realm of the spirit, but when it's given to you, it's an impartation. All right, when it's given to you, it's an actually imputation, but it becomes a part of your being. There's no difference between you and the new life you received came with it, came with righteousness. So it's just like we had the nature of sin and continually we were doing things that were wrong through Adam. Let's read, praise the Lord, in Romans chapter 5 from verse 12, it says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. All sinned, actually, before all of the things that are coming, because Adam, the Bible calls Adam the son of God, right? He came from the Lord, and he was perfect. And God, but he fell. He chose to fall. The Bible says he was not deceived. Eve was deceived. Adam, which is the male seed, was not deceived. He fell by choice. Hallelujah. And because of that, the Bible tells us here that sin entered into the world, and death by sin. Death includes every evil thing that we see that would ultimately lead to people dying, a loss of resources, hallelujah, sickness, disease, and every other wicked thing that came in through that fall. And it passed upon all men, because every man who was born after Adam fell, was born spiritually dead. A parent cannot transfer what that parent doesn't have. Hallelujah. If a human being has some things wrong in their DNA, that's why we get generational curses, sicknesses, diseases, transferring from one generation to the other. They ask questions like if people are afflicted with cancer, they ask you, did your mom have cancer? Did your dad? Then they begin to analyze the fact that you hear some people say their grandmother had cancer, their mother had it, and well, you know, they've just been diagnosed with it and all of that. And people talk about generational curses and all of that. Some of it comes because we don't know the truth. Hallelujah. As far as the Bible is concerned, when you get saved, it's an interruption of whatever was there before you got saved. Hallelujah. It says, for until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. I'm reading verse 13. Hallelujah. Which means that sin as a process and as a spirit was at work, even though there was no law. But you can't legally impute it, even though it is there, without a law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, had abounded unto many. Hallelujah. So, now the offense was that one man, Adam, fell. Adam is looked at with Eve. They fell. Because of that, all died. But the gift of God, the grace of God, the gift by grace, which was by one man, Jesus Christ, abounded unto many. Not only did it abound to everyone, praise God, it also abounded in terms of transgressions. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation. But the free gift is of many offenses unto justification, which means he took into account many offenses. He factored in sin at all levels. That's what he's trying to say. It's not just that one, it's not like the way Adam's transgression was, though it was dangerous, because one man fell, the sin nature came up because he had died, he was separated from God, and the sin nature came up, and from it, wickedness started showing in the world. Violence came into the world. Things started happening that were contrary to the will of God. They broke God's law. Now, those who saw those things and still didn't do them were equally guilty, because sin is both a nature and an act. At this point, sin was recognized as a nature, but was not recognized as an act because there was no law. It is the law or laws that make sin evident. As long as there is no law, though sin be there as a nature, it is not recognized as sin. It says, not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift, for the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification, unto our being justified, set forth as being righteous. A lot of things were taken into account. That's what he's saying. Praise God. Now, let me add this. The sin of Adam was included in it. The sins that we sinned ourselves before we gave our lives to Christ were included in it, because sin would not have existed. In fact, you would not have committed sin, actually, had Adam not fallen. So Jesus came to redeem us, to to bring us back from what Adam did. And for it to be effective, it has to take into account the fallout. Let me put it this way. If you're trying to fund someone to do a business and the person is in the hole, you have to dig him out of the hole and give him what he needs to continue in business if you trust what he's doing. Otherwise, you wouldn't have done anything. Your money would be lost. All right. So God dug man out of what Adam did, out of what we did, what Adam did, and then the things that we added to it. Because there is personal sin that has nothing to do with Adam. So when Jesus died, Jesus took care of the sin of Adam and everything that came through that fall, every curse, every judgment that God had given on account of his fall, like that the earth, that out of the his sweat shall he feed, praise God, and that the earth would not bring forth good things, good harvest for him. So it would be difficult to handle. He gave him a difficult life and increased the pain of childbirth to the woman. He did all of that. He declared all of that. Praise God. All those declarations became nullified once sin was forgiven. This is the truth about it. Now let's say that it came to our generation. Praise the Lord. That's what looking, centuries have passed, thousands of years have passed. We have not come to our generation, which means that within that time, let me use an African like myself. Okay, all right, African origin, with my ancestry, they had some practices that were not okay. All right, all those sins are, without the blood of Jesus, generational sins, and so have consequences. Praise the Lord. When Jesus died on the cross, when he shed his blood on the cross, that blood took care of me, the sin up to Adam, took care of my sin. I'm using myself now, and you can use yourself. From me back to Adam, everything that the ancestry did as it has to do with me were taken care of. And so have no effect, have no legal effect upon me. That is one. Secondly, that's the redemption. After the redemption, I was now made a new creature in Christ, which means that I am not in the sight of God the same creature that was traced from Adam. Two things I'm talking about here. I'm speaking two things. God cannot have us except he redeems us. God went to the slave market, bought us from the devil by paying a named price, then brought us home. When he brought us home, he rejigged us and made us into new creatures, unrecognizable even in the slave market. You're not the same person. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation, a new creature. All things are passed away. All things are become new, and all things are of God. So on two counts, there cannot be generational sin or curses. The first one, I mentioned it, was the fact that we were redeemed. What does that mean? Everything that was needed for the price of justice for me to be declared righteous was done. For me to be declared righteous, my grandfather's sins cannot be hanging on my head. Because sin is the door through which curses and death come through. Praise the Lord. And sickness and disease. So God did take care of business. He paid a full price. Jesus said, it is finished. I have undone what the adversary did. That's what he meant when he said, it is finished. He had undone it. Then God brought us home and made us new creatures in the likeness of the second Adam, which is Jesus Christ. He took out our hard drive and put a new one in. He took out the spirit man and rebuilt it. He gave birth to a new creation, new creature. When he says new there, it means that it has never existed before. Now, it says here in 1 Corinthians 15, 45, as it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. That was the best of Adam before he fell. Hallelujah. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Quickening there means life-giving. So the same way we took the nature of the first Adam, even though by the time we came on the scene, sin had already entered, and so we received the sin nature. Praise the Lord. In the new Adam, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, and the last Adam, hallelujah, we were made quick, a life-giving spirit, a quickening spirit, able to give life. Hallelujah. Not only to have it, but to give it. Praise the Lord. The same way that Jesus was made. He's the firstborn, and we are his brethren. Praise the Lord Jesus. So, sin has been dealt with. Sin, tracing back to Adam, has been destroyed. It has no more effect. Hallelujah. We are forgiven. The person might have been a criminal. He's forgiven. Those things no longer exist. Might have been a gangbanger, it no longer exists. Might have been even been a terrorist, no longer exists. Hallelujah. Might have been a bad boy, a bad girl, whatever it was, it no longer exists. Might have been a bomb, no longer exists. The person who's in there right now is a child of God. The human spirit is that of one who is divine. In the nature of God, in the likeness of Christ. Hallelujah. It says, not as it was that sin, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. So we're dealing with the offenses that have gone. Praise God. Now, God made us new creatures. Now, in the course of the perfecting of the work of the soul in the new creation, because your soul is still being saved through the renewing of the mind, through the studying of the Word of God, and beginning to reason the way God wants you to reason. And so, while that is going on, if any man sins, the Bible says, we have an advocate with the Father. Now, let me use a backslider, because the backslider backslid having known Jesus. And he sinned some couple of sins, some maybe many sins before, from when he backslid. But his spirit man is still free. What I mean by free is that has all the qualities of the new creation. But because his mind is unrenewed or in subjection, he cannot function in this world as a new creation. Even when his spirit man wants to do something, the mind will stop him. So, that for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. We have received a gift of righteousness. Righteousness is to us a gift. It's a gift. We didn't work for it. We believed into it. When you get born again, God gives you the gift of righteousness. And every one of us here are equally righteous. Nobody's more righteous than the other. It's a gift. It's a standard gift. It is through that gift that grace began to reign in us. The Spirit of grace began to do his work in us. So, In much the same way, because we're now new creatures and the gift of righteousness has been given to us, the Holy Spirit, which is the Spirit of grace, comes in and standing on the legal basis of righteousness, which is right standing with God, is now working out a new thing in us, returning us back to and way beyond what we were in the first Adam. The Bible says that grace might reign through righteousness unto eternal life. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. What is he saying? This grace will take care of whatever exists in this day that we're living in. Hallelujah. Wherever that you require more grace, God will give it. His grace is sufficient for us, for today and for all time. We have abundance of grace. And when we need more grace, all we need to do is approach the throne of grace, and we will obtain mercy, and we will find the grace that we need.